to Luke chapter 2. Today we look at a man named Simeon. And we'll be studying Simeon this week and next week and see what a godly man he was and what we can learn from him. After our Lord Jesus Christ was born, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, after 8 days, when the 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he, by grace and love, entered into this dark world and humbled himself. We really have no idea how far he humbled himself. We can only try to understand from the scriptures that the one who made the world and every child in its mother's womb came forth from his own mother's womb, that he was handled and cared for by people that he made, that he lived a life and came into his own, but his own received him not and did not welcome him. And when he died upon the cross, it was by the hands of godless men which he made in their mother's womb. What humiliation he suffered. How low he came, that we might be lifted up on high. And we pray that you would help us to understand this great mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We ask that you'd help us to marvel, to wonder, to not allow us to think lightly of such things. And as we study the life of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would help us to see that he did this humiliation that he went through, this ridicule, this crucifixion, because in his heart was a love which no man could quench and which Satan could not deter him from, that he would see his seed come forth, that he would save his people from their sins and let nothing stop him. We pray, O Lord, that having seen that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, that you would teach us what life is all about. Not only the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, but taking himself upon us and being unto others as he was unto us. Help us, O Lord, to understand the gospel of Christ and its implications on how we should live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a dark time in Jewish history when Joseph and Mary entered that temple in Jerusalem. At that time, the Romans were in power. They had conquered Israel and set up a puppet king in the Herods. It was not unusual for God's people, the Jews at that time, to suffer. And when news came to Herod that the Messiah who was to come was born in Bethlehem, he was so corrupt that he sent soldiers to destroy the infants and to slaughter them, looking to kill the Son of God. The Word of God had been shut up for over 400 years since Malachi. There was darkness upon the land, no prophet. And the priests that were in charge of the temple were the unbelieving Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. The people that were in charge of the synagogues were the legalistic Pharisees that put burdens upon the people which they could not bear. It was a dark time. Our Lord Jesus Christ was found in the temple. Mary and Joseph came to Jerusalem to offer the sacrifice of two young pigeons for his purification, according to the law of Moses, and to dedicate their firstborn son to God. There was an old man there named Simeon. We say old because that seems to be what the text indicates, that he had been promised by God through revelation that he would not die until he had seen the consolation of Israel, the Messiah to come. It seems to be a promise that he had, and that he had been there in the temple continually waiting for the Son of God. I would like us to learn about Simeon because I believe he has something to teach us. He's mentioned only here in the Bible, but by the terms that describe him, he was one of the most holy men in God's Word. There are two things that I want us to look at about Simeon: who he was and what he was like. Who was this man Simeon? The commentators debate on this. Some say he was a priest that was offering sacrifices in the temple. There is no real evidence of that. Some say he was, by church tradition, the son of one of the great teachers of Judaism, Hillel, and the father of Gamaliel, who taught Paul. But there's no evidence of that. As far as we know, Simeon was just a man in Jerusalem who had been given a promise by God, and day after day, evidently, he waited in the temple till he could see the Messiah. Yet the Bible describes him as one of the most godly men, and the privilege that was given him was something that not anybody else could claim. There are three things that describe Simeon as a man: who he was, what he was like. He was a righteous man. And that word righteous is the same word as just. It means that he was a holy man, yes. But the Bible says that the righteous, the justified, enter life. The righteous shall live by faith. He was not self-righteous like the Pharisees were, depending upon their own law-keeping and works to make them right with God. Nor was he like the Sadducees, unbelieving. I believe that he was a man of faith. He was waiting on the Messiah. And that's what the saints in the Old Testament were supposed to do, to wait on Christ to come and to depend upon him for their hope and salvation. And he did. He was a righteous man. Secondly, he was a devout man. That word is used in the New Testament of the men who cared not for their own life when they came and picked up Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church, just having been stoned to death, and took him away for burial. It is a word that is used of those who have godly fear. It is a word that in its root meaning, is spoken of Christ in the garden while he prayed, when great drops of sweat as of blood came from his brow. It means committed and dedicated, devoted. He was a man who acted like he feared God more than men. And there was something he was doing, according to the text. He was looking for the consolation of Israel in verse 25. And that word looking for has the idea of waiting for. He was waiting continually. He was continually looking for the comfort which was promised in Isaiah 40, which would come upon God's people. In Luke 12, verse 36, that word is used of servants who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast. When the bridegroom comes home with his bride, their hand was on the door, ready to open it and welcome their master home for the marriage, from the wedding. It is the same word that we are to wait for Christ in Luke 12, 37. We are to wait for him, to expect him, to have our hand on the doorknob of our lives, and be ready for him to come in and not be caught off guard or ashamed in the way we live. This man was waiting. He was waiting for Christ to come. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word is used only in this place of a person. Consolation. Comfort. Our Lord Jesus Christ is comfort incarnate. He is consolation incarnate. We love to be comforted. We love to be helped. It means to be called alongside of. It's that person that comes and just sits with us when we're in grief and takes our hand and is there for us. It is that person who speaks words of kindness and encouragement when we need them, and sometimes words of rebuke when we need that. But he is comfort incarnate. In another form, John said of Jesus in this word, "I write these things that you may not sin," he said. "But if any man sins, we have an advocate, a consoler, a consolation, a comfort with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." It is such a comfort to know that the Son of God awaits his people's confession of sins, freely to forgive over and over again. He is a comfort. He is the God who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. His very name is Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. One of the last things he said before he left the earth was, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you all the days, even to the end of the age." To have such a God, such a Savior, is a consolation while we walk in this world, a world that is filled with sin and death and evil, suffering and difficulty. Simeon understood the Old Testament promises that when Messiah would come, God would comfort his people. He would speak kindly to Jerusalem and tell her that her warfare is over, that he has given double for her sins, and now comfort has come. This old man was in the temple, and day after day he waited for that comfort. We have the same promise. Simeon was waiting for the comfort to come. Now that the comfort has come in Jesus Christ, we can come to it. We can come to the comfort. For Jesus said, "He that comes to me, I will not cast out." Simeon waited on Christ to come and was not disappointed. And everyone who comes to Christ will be received by him and comforted. It also says that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. This was before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit had been poured out in fullness on that day. But we need to understand that the Old Testament saints also had the Holy Spirit upon them. They believed in the Messiah to come. They looked for the comfort of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. It is a special privilege. He acted upon what he had heard. He acted upon what he knew. And we know more and are called to act upon every word that God has spoken. He is a worthy example for any believer to follow. I especially delight in the older saints of God who provide the example for the younger saints to pray, to be kind, loving, forgiving, and faithful to Christ and to his church. We who are younger and still have mobility and strength in our bodies find so many reasons not to be faithful. But the older saints of God stand before us and call us to faithfulness. Well, that was what Simeon was like. He was a godly man. But what did he do in this passage? Well, there are three things that he did. And I'll probably only get to the first two today, saving the last for next week. But the three things are this. He took Jesus in his arms. He blessed God. And then he blessed Mary and Joseph. The first thing he did was he took Jesus in his arms. He understood what was happening. Can you imagine? For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Messiah to come, to heal their wounds, to save them from their enemies, to forgive their sins. And now, this one man was holding in his arms the consolation of Israel. All the promises that had been made in the Old Testament, where immediately after the fall of man, God promised that the seed of the woman would come forth and destroy the seed of the serpent. That Abraham had been promised a seed to come that would be the father of many nations. That David had been promised a son and a king who would set up an eternal kingdom which would not pass away, which would not fail, who would build a temple that would be everlasting where God is worshiped and praised. In Simeon's mind, he was holding this salvation in his arms. And without spiritualizing the text, there's something here that you and I need to understand. What Simeon did is a great illustration of what it means to become a Christian. The word "take" is the same word as "welcome" and receive in the New Testament. He came into his own, and they received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. It is the word for welcome. It is the word that in the New Testament is spoken of as receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Welcoming him as your God, your prophet to teach you, your priest to pay for your sins and intercede before God for you, and your king to rule your life in a new kingdom. It means to take him, to welcome him, to take hold of him. And the old writers would often speak of this word. There is a great old book, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. Taking hold of the Son of God is salvation. You may not understand everything about yourself, and you may not understand everything about him, but you don't have to find him. What you have to do is come to him in repentance for sin and take hold of him as your Lord. Simeon did that. Some of us get confused at times, but we're to be like Simeon and take hold of Christ and his promises every day, and that is enough. The second thing he did was he blessed God. In verse 29 through 32, this is the blessing that he said to God. He was worshiping now. He was praising and praying to his Father in heaven. Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. In verse 29 and 30, he had looked so much and so long for the Messiah as his only hope, that now having held him in his arms, he was ready to die. Having had Christ in his arms, that was enough. That was enough to his life, and that was enough in his death. There wasn't anything he could experience after that would be better. And for the truth of the matter, everything after that would be downhill. We have such a low view of salvation. It grieves me. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a great privilege to escape the wrath of God to come. Our Lord said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, welcome you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is nothing to compare with having Jesus Christ. To have the fear of death removed is a wonderful blessing. To have the fear of life removed, that this one who is ruling and reigning is causing all things to work together for good for his people, is a blessing. But all the complaining that we do, the grumbling, the discontented spirits, the dissatisfaction with others and with God who has given us others, betrays that we do not value Christ in our arms, as Simeon did. How easy it would be to let go of bitterness and anger and discontent and fear, for those things that come into our lives, if we but knew and believed that Christ was ours. And yet the scriptures here say that he is to all who would have him. Taking hold of Christ causes us to bless God and say that everything is downhill in this life compared to knowing him. But we make such mountains out of molehills. Houses and cars and spouses and children that act right all the time, those are molehills. Careers that did not turn out as we hoped they would, those are molehills. Health that is not as strong as you hoped it would be, especially in answer to such prayers, those are molehills. There is nothing to compare with knowing Jesus Christ. To have him is to have everything. But you say, I have not seen him. How can it be real? Simeon at least held him in his arms. He could touch him. He could see him. He could feel him. The Holy Spirit had spoken to him and told him that this is the one. So he could know. That's how he could be happy. If I had such an experience, surely I could be satisfied. That same experience can be yours and better. For Jesus said, Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side and be not unbelieving but believing. Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Simeon held Christ in his hands. Thomas, after the resurrection, was told to put his finger in the holes in his hand and his hand into his side where he'd been pierced with a sword. And be not unbelieving, but believing. And Jesus said, I tell you, Thomas, there is something better. Those who have not seen and yet believed. God calls upon us with the eye of faith to look not only at a little baby in a temple who was the consolation of Israel, but to look at a perfect life that was so good and kind, it could be nothing but a satisfying atonement before God for our sins. And to look fully at a death voluntarily suffered for the good of others, to tell us that God's love is unstoppable and immeasurable and will stop at nothing till he brings sinners to his great throne in joy and peace forever. It is in believing that our comfort comes. It is in taking hold of Christ by faith, the one who is risen from the dead, that comfort comes. And when we are uncomforted, we always know what to do. Take hold of Jesus Christ. Take him in our arms and with the eye of faith to see Christ crucified, now risen, ascended and glorified, and ruling eternity for our good. Faith in him finds the comfort that Simeon saw. Simeon saw and held Christ, and he could not do anything but bless God. That's what happened. Worship is not a place where we come to get something. Worship is not a place where we come to feel good, though I hope you do. Worship is a place where we come to bless God for all that he has done for us in his Son. It is not a place where we vent our discontent with a God who is so good our minds cannot take it in. It is a place to bless Him for sending His dear Son for the likes of us to make us children of God. From that point on, Simeon didn't care what happened in his life because it could never measure up to having Christ. And he could only look forward to an eternity spent with one who came for him. And that made everything else secondary. There's something in that for us. The way we treat our families, the way we count on our jobs and the praise of men to make us happy, to have the right possessions, the right size bank account, to have a church in which there's no weakness or problems. Take hold of Christ. Come to the Son of God and bless God for all of the privileges and comforts that He has brought in Him. Simeon can teach us a whole lot. He was a great man, but after all, he was just a sinner who found God's salvation in his hands, and it put everything else in perspective and gave him peace and joy in believing. And that is the same gospel that Paul preached and Peter preached and that I hope to preach. Come to Jesus Christ. He came to save his people from their sins, to be the comfort of their heart. Will you come? He has already and invites you to come every day. Let us pray.